Blog Talk Radio.
got Jesus on my. I got that. 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 V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I got no reason to fear. I got Jesus on my. I got that. I got that. I got that. I got that. I got that.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit Internet Radio Podcast Show and also the Summit with Adam Tuggle. I praise God for being here on today. Welcome to the show. We are on another beautiful Saturday, and I am so blessed to be with you guys on today. Also, we want to thank God for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come another Saturday, y'all. We made it to the weekend, y'all. When y'all hear my voice, y'all know y'all on the weekend, y'all. Amen. Hope y'all are having a very beautiful weekend. I know I am. I praise God for my family on today, my wife, my children, has been blessing us in our efforts in Jesus' name. Praise God for just being here, just being alive, just one more day in Jesus' name. Now, on today, we are going to be talking about a very, very powerful topic on today, and it involves everybody. Amen. This topic today involves every single person, and the topic today is about life. A life worth living, a life for a life being as a vapor, because the Bible does say life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Amen. So we're going to be talking about life on today. Just living life on today. We're going to be talking about the topic today. And as we go into this, I want to say, anyone that has, anyone who is living life on today, and you don't know what, you don't know yet what God has for you to do yet, that's quite all right. It's okay. Pray, continue to pray, and ask the Lord what He wants you to do for your life. Because everybody that is on the face of this earth, past, present, and future, God has a reason for you to be here. Amen. I don't care what it is, but the main focus is about life. God has a reason for you to be here, and it's in His plan why He has you here, and it's for Him to be glorified, it's for Him to be edified, and it's for Him to be magnified. Why He has you here on this earth. I had a person tell me one time, it's better for me to be above ground than to be underneath ground. And sometimes when I'm at my job, I have customers. Sometimes they tell me, you know, my day is like this or my day is like that and things aren't going my way. But I'm here to tell you, just like I tell them, it's better to be thankful for the things that you have than to think about the things you don't. Because it could be worse. It could be that you could be in the hospital bed at a hospital. You could be in Crown Hill Cemetery. You could be. There's an old song that says, it should have been me, outdoors with no food and no home, or just another number with a tragic end. But he didn't see fit to let none of these things be. But by his grace and his power, he keeps on. He keeps on keeping me. So our lives are to do the work of the Lord. I watch on Facebook. I keep in contact with Bishop Cook, and I can honestly say I on my Facebook page a couple weeks ago, I was scrolling through my Facebook page and I saw a message. Or I was scrolling through my timeline and I saw, you know, a little Facebook post, and it was from Bishop Cook.
Amen.
And Bishop Cook said, "I love ministry. I love ministry." And you could hear the joy in that post. You can hear the joy in the post. I'm just being honest. And I can say this, every day, and when I say every day, I mean every day, she is so faithful to send me an inbox post every day, and it's never anything negative. It's always something encouraging to uplift somebody's life. And that's what we need. That's why we are here on this earth. That's why we have life. We have life to encourage somebody else. You don't know what a person has been through. You don't know what a person is going through. You don't know what a person will be faced with after they leave your presence. It's always good to encourage somebody and tell them that they can make it. I remember one time doing a church service when I was a lot younger. My former pastor, and y'all hear me talk about her a lot, one day we were having our pastoral appreciation services. And this was around that time, it was her birthday. And we were having her birthday and her appreciation service. And we invited a couple churches and everything. And she got up and she said, "The Lord has asked me to do something." This was during offering. And she asked everybody in the church to give a certain amount, or to give. And she said, "The Lord is going to have me do something." And she asked for a certain amount, and then she lowered the amount, and then, you know, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, these people, and I'm not going to say any churches' names or anything, but the people of these various churches, some of them were given begrudgingly. And begrudgingly means that they were giving, they didn't want to, but they gave it anyway. And my pastor said something to the effect of, "If you're going to give begrudgingly, you might as well keep the offering in your pocket, because you're not going to be blessed." But at the end of that, she turned around and she shocked the whole church, even us. Even the church that she was pastoring, she shocked everybody, because she turned around and split all that money and gave it out to the various churches on her birthday. And these churches were shocked. And she gave it to the pastors. She called up pastors one by one and was giving them money. The money that we were supposed to give her, she gave it out to them. Life, your life, and my life is to be a blessing to somebody else's life. Now, you don't have to give millions and millions of dollars. I'm not saying that it's always financial giving, but you can give of your time. You can give of your finances. You can even give a nice smile to somebody. You can give somebody a hello, praise the Lord, or anything that might encourage that person. But it is up to us to make sure that we are giving of ourselves. Because when you are getting, and I say this a lot when I'm on my job, I make it a habit on my job, I make it a habit to the customers that I have. Because people know, this is not the only job that I have. This is my spirit, part of my spiritual job. But my natural job is I work in retail. And so I have customers. But I make it a habit to, when you come through my line, and I have a saying, it is very dangerous to come through my line if you do not want to laugh or smile. If you don't want to laugh or smile, it's dangerous to come through my line, because I'm going to make you laugh or smile when you leave.
Praise Jesus.
Even if you don't want to, if you come through my line, you're going to laugh or smile by the time I'm done. And whether you like me or you hate me or whatever, you will remember this young guy made me laugh or smile. And it gets the people that I come in contact with on my job every time. And I had a young lady come through my line one time, and she said to me, she said, I wasn't in the mood to be smiling and laughing. And she said, you know what? You made me laugh and made me smile, even in a time of my life when I didn't feel like I'm going through a lot. But that helped me. Something as simple as that can help somebody's life, to help them live on. Because we're dealing with a lot in this life. We got a lot on our plates. I know in our personal lives, in our, you know, in our communities, in our churches, in our various families, we got a lot going on. Not just the coronavirus. We're dealing with stuff with our personal lives, stuff that we don't tell people. So we need some help every now and then. We need some encouragement every now and then. We need it. We need it every now and then. Every now and then we need encouragement. And every now and then we need a word from the Lord. So, what is it that we do? What is it that we need? What is it that we have to have in our lives? I'll tell you. We need to have joy. We need to have peace. We need to have victory in our lives. Well, how do we do that? One of the ways, I've already said it, we need to encourage one another. I watched a person on my job the other day. It was a guy, and he was in my line, and he looked at another person, and he was like, if you don't stop staring at me, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And he was talking about hurting this guy. Now, I'm not going to say what he said, because it's X-rated words that were said. But for you as a person, and I'm just talking about in general, for a person to just because somebody looks at somebody, you want to say you want to do something violent to them? You want to take their life just because of the way somebody looks, just because of the way somebody... People nowadays, the world that we live in and the society that we live in,
and the way with us living in the last days, we are living in a society that does not care about life like it used to. It is time for us to stand up. Not just so, now, I will say this. I sort of agree. I see it both sides. I do. That Black Lives Matter. I believe that. I believe in that. And I believe in that all lives matter. When it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to Jesus Christ, all lives matter. All souls matter. Because Jesus died for each and every single one of us. He didn't just die for African Americans. He didn't just die for Caucasians. He didn't just die for Latinos and Asians and every other color and creed. He died for everybody. He died for the sins of mankind. The ultimate love, that soul love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That soul love. When we show that soul love towards life, we will be better off as saints, because we see it in the church. Sometimes we kill with our tongue. Wait a minute. People just don't kill people with guns and knives, and you can kill somebody with your words. You can kill somebody. The Bible says in Proverbs that the power of life and death lie in the power of the tongue. Your tongue is the most deadliest member of your body. It can speak life. It can speak death. Whatever you do. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to show, we have to show, not just you, me too. We have to show that soul love towards life and life in general. It brings life when you show love. It brings life when you have compassion. It brings love. It brings life. And it brings love too. Amen. It brings life when you can show somebody that Jesus loves them. It brings life. It brings life to me when I'm on my Facebook and every day. And I said it before, I said it earlier. Every day I see an inbox from Bishop Cook encouraging me. She don't have to do that. She does it out of soul love. My mother, my co-pastor, does the same exact thing. Will get on Facebook and encourage everybody. My mother will drive all around this city helping folks, all around the city of Indianapolis, trying to bless somebody. And sometimes me and my brothers and my sister tell my mama, you got to slow down. You got to slow down because you're going to tire yourself out. And she's like, no, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do that. Mama, slow down. I'm not telling you as my first lady. I'm not telling you as my co-pastor. I'm telling you as my mama, slow down. Because you do stuff for people, sometimes it gets tiring. Sometimes you will be hit with a heartache and pain by helping people. Because some people that you help, they don't appreciate it. But that's all right. That's okay. Keep on loving. Keep on. Look, my former pastor used to say, you can love them so much that you can love the devil right out of them. You can love the devil out of somebody. You can love the enemy right out of somebody. You can love the hate out of somebody. Love them so much, every time they get around you, you loving on them. Every time. And they want, and then all of a sudden they wondering why. Well, wait a minute, hold up. I'm doing all I can to tell this person I hate them and I don't like them, but yet they still loving me. Why? And they'll come and ask you. I've had that happen to me before. I had somebody that was bullying me in high school. And I kept loving them, kept encouraging them, I love you anyways. When I became an adult, they saw me in a store and stopped me just to say they were sorry. They said, I kept trying to hate you. I kept trying to do this to you. You kept on loving in spite of it. You kept saying, I'm your friend. I'm not going to hate you. You know, I'm praying for you. And I rolled my eyes at you. But yet you still said you'd pray for me. My former pastor, this is the true test of love in giving life to somebody. This is the true test. When you've lost something that somebody else took from you, especially if it's a family member, or can you still show that soul love? Long time ago, my pastor lost her son tragically, and her son was killed by another individual. And during the court proceedings, the family was able to, give their remarks. And my pastor got up and said, in front of the courtroom, got on that bench and said, looked dead at this man that killed her son and said, I love you. I love you. And she told this man's family, if you ever need anything, call me.
My Lord,
that's so love. That's so love. That gives life. To lose your son and still be able to tell the family. Hey, glory.
Hallelujah.
Still be able to tell the family that killed your son. Of the man that killed your son, to tell his family, if you need me, call me. I'm here for you. And tell the man that killed your son, I love you. Now that's soul love. That's giving life. That ain't her, because she could have done it just the same way everybody else does it. You kill my dog, I kill your cat. But we have to show love to give life. We have a lot of people in a depressed state because they don't receive, they're not receiving life. We got a lot of people walking around living, but they're not living. They're not living life. They're the walking dead right now. They walking around in misery, wondering what's going to happen the next minute, the next second, the next hour, the next day, the next month, the next year. Some people walking around depressed. And if I'm talking to somebody that's depressed, you can come out of that depression today. I speak life over you. That what the enemy has said about you is not so. That what that man or that woman or that mother or that father has said about you is not so. That, I said it a couple weeks ago, we got to learn how to forgive. In life, we have to learn how to forgive. Have I come to the straight way of knowing? No, I'm still growing.
I'm still growing just like everybody else. But I do know this, that if we don't show love and if we don't show a method of forgiveness and a method of love towards life, not towards people, but towards life, then we ain't gonna make it into heaven. Because if you're not showing love, you're not showing life. You're not giving life. You might say, well, if I'm not giving love, I'm not giving life, how am I? What do you mean by that? Because if you're showing love to somebody, you're giving them life. But if you always stomping on their necks, and we see, and I'm about to hit the church next, I'm just hitting everybody right now. In the church, let me tell you something. This is the reason why some people don't want to come to church. I'm going to tell you this right now. Since we can't go to the building right now, I'm about to tell y'all right now. Before we start going back to the building and having church, we need to understand something. As people of God, we need to stop and take a look at ourselves, because such was some of us. Take your foot off your brother's neck. Take your foot off of that sister's neck. Take your foot off that sinner's neck and love them. Love them. Love them in here. Because you can catch more bees and flies with honey than you can vinegar. What you mean by that? See, I got these old sayings. I was raised by old school people. What you mean by that? You can catch more people with love than you can with hate. Now, if you want to be a hateful person, that's fine. You can do that. But you ain't going to make it to heaven that way. I'm going to tell you that now. You're not going to make it into heaven that way. Because hating somebody, that's a sin. And sin shall never have its place in heaven again. You might say, well, sin was in heaven? Yes, it was. Because when Satan chose to think himself over God and try to be over God, that was a sin. Kicked it out. And so now we're in a place, we're living in the last days, and people are so careless about life. But I speak over the people today. I speak over you. I speak over me. I speak over my own life. I speak over my own family. I speak over your family today. That we shall have life and have it more abundantly. We shall have life. Because life is like a vapor. We see every day we see somebody. And this ain't just start from the coronavirus. Let me tell you that now. We see people dying left and right. And this is way before the coronavirus got here. We saw people getting murdered. We saw people getting... Every day I turned on the news before this coronavirus happened, I heard about somebody dying. A couple of my family members. I had a cousin who was tragically killed. Tragically killed. Trying to do the right thing. Trying to take his so-called friends home and was tragically killed. We understand the importance about life. We have to understand the importance about life. And once we understand the importance about life, then we can learn how to show life. We can give life. We can live life once we understand the true meaning of life. And the true meaning of life is living the way God would have us to live.
Excuse the interruption, But Minister Adam, I think you have muted your phone.
The enemy's busy. We ain't going down like this. The devil is alive.
I got you.
We have to show life and we have to show love. In Jesus' name. We cannot do anything without God. We can't do anything without Jesus Christ being with us. Now, I understand that, well, you might say, well, I don't have to have a relationship with God. I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. Or some people might say, I don't have to really have a relationship with God to live. And you know what? I'm going to say you're right. And the only reason why I'm saying you're right is because God gave us a choice whether to serve him or not. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. The Lord said for us to come to him. He said, in the word of God, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In the house, your peace lie in the house of God. My Uncle JC used to tell me and used to tell the saints during testimony service, he used to say, the church is a hospital. The church can be a hospital. He used to talk about how many times he used to come to church. He used to come to church in pain and then leave out of church healed. All because he came to the house. And for those people that say, well, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. Let me tell you something. I believe I said it on last week. Let me say this to those people. I'm going to say it like this. In a friendship, relationship, whatever type of ship it is, in a relationship and in a friendship and a relationship should never be one-sided. In a relationship with God, your relationship with God should never be one-sided. Oh, my relationship isn't one-sided. I hear you. Well, let me ask you this. Do you, when you pray, and I'm just asking the question, you ain't got to answer me, but I want you to think about this. You might say your relationship is not one-sided, but let me ask you this, and I want y'all to think about this. When you pray, are you always asking for stuff, or are you asking what God wants you to do for your life? When you pray, are you always doing all the talking, or are you waiting to hear the voice of the Lord sometimes? When you are in a relationship with God, are you telling him, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord? And then when you say like this, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I'll do this. And then he gets you out and you don't do it. Oh, Lord, yeah, the Lord didn't tell me to do that. And you know full well that the Lord told you to do it. Or the opposite, you know full well the Lord didn't tell you to do that, and you went off and did it anyway. That's a one-sided relationship. You always want the Lord to come to you when you sit over there and say, oh, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. Oh, yes, you do. He don't always want to come to your house, whether your house is clean or dirty. He don't always want to come to your house. He wants you to come to his house sometime. That's a one-sided relationship. That's a one-sided relationship. And God is not one-sided. He wants to be loved on too, just as well as you do. Just as well as you want things from God, he wants something from you. He wants a life for a life. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants your mind, body, and soul so that he can give you life, so that you can share life unto man. So that you can share that he blessed you with your life in him so that you might share to people that he can give life unto them. You have to do it God's way. We have to do it God's way. There is no other way but God's way. And yes, let me break this down. And when you look in the Bible, and I've said this before, when you look at the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, it stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Holy basic instructions before leaving earth. And if you're following, if you're saying you're a Christian, because everybody's saying that they're a Christian. Everybody, saint and sinner, saying they're a Christian. If you ain't following those holy basic instructions before leaving earth, the way God has told you to, or the way God has told me to, then, and if you have not taken on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and if you have not taken on his spirit, the Bible says you are none of his. And that's Bible. It's Bible. So, I'm going to ask the question today. In your life, you might know God. You might know of God, but do you really know him? Better yet, does he know you? Does he know you in this life? Because there's going to come a day where he's going to tell some folks, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And that's bad. That's real bad. And I'm going to use this example. I'm going to use my father. Out of 32 years of my father being my daddy, if my father was to ever say, I never knew you, that would hurt me. I've been with this man 32 years. He's been taking care of me, and he's still taking care of me as an adult. He still gives me advice. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's just not taking care of me as a little kid anymore. But he still calls me, give me advice, and he takes care of me in his own little way. I'm still his baby boy. But if he said to me, I never knew you. I don't have nothing to do with you. That would hurt. If I told my kids who've been with me, I never knew them, or I don't know you, I don't know who you are, that's a sad feeling. But he's given us a chance, a golden opportunity to see and to know him, to get to know him. You know, when you're courting somebody, you get to know them. You get to know them. You get to learn of them. Well, if you are a sinner, or if you are a backslider, or if you're a saint, get in that period of your walk with Christ to get to know more about Jesus. He knows you. He knows about you. He created you. But you and I have to get to know him. We're in the courting phase in our walk with Christ, because one day the bridegroom is going to come and he's going to take the bride of Christ out of here. But we're in the courting phase. He's courting us right now. We're getting to know about him. We're getting to know about where he wants to take his bride. You don't just marry somebody. Look, I ain't just marrying my wife without getting to know her first. That's stupid. That would have been dumb of me and dumb of her. Bridget, oh, I just knew you one day and I'm just going to marry. No, 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 no. Nope. No. Because you don't know what you're getting. But when you learn of somebody, you learn about their life. You learn about them. You learn their thoughts. You learn their. Now, when I say you learn their thoughts, I'm not talking about no psychic mess. I'm talking about you learn about them. You learn their likes, their dislikes. Same thing in a marriage. You never know. In a marriage, I've said it before, you don't know everything. You won't know everything about your spouse. You won't know everything about your spouse. Every day is a day. Every day in a marriage is a learning opportunity. I'm learning more and more about my wife as we stay, as we are together. And we've only been married 3 years, almost 4 years now. And I still, you might say, well, you've only been married a short time. Even people that have been married 50-something years don't even know everything about their spouse. But it's a courting phase. I even say sometimes, and this is my own personal opinion, even sometimes in a marriage, when you've been married short time, long time, it's still a courting phase because I'm still learning about you. But it's for us in our walk with Christ to get to know him so that we might be able to tell people about him. If you don't learn of him, you can't tell nothing about him. If you haven't received his spirit, you can't talk about his spirit unless you've received it. If don't, nobody want to say amen. I brought my amens with me, so amen. But we have to learn how to live life. We have to learn how to live life. You can't just go out. A baby doesn't know how to live life. A baby doesn't know how to, when a baby's first born, it don't even know how to eat. You got to teach a baby. A baby just don't, when a baby's first born, you do not give that baby steak. Why? Because the baby, first of all, has no teeth to chew on that steak or don't even know how to swallow no steak. It'll choke. But you teach that baby. You teach that baby. There's steps in that baby's life. It grows up into a toddler. It grows up into a young child. It grows up into a teenager. And then it goes off into adulthood. That's the same thing with our walk with Christ. And a lot of us, I said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it a million times. We still got babies in the church that's been in church house for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years, and you still on the milk, on the sincere milk of the word of God. The devil is a liar. Come off the milk. Eat the meat. Learn how to take something.
Come on now.
Learn how to take something. Learn how to take, because in life you're going to have to learn how to take some stuff. We take stuff every day. I take stuff every day of my life. Learn how to take something. Don't be getting mad at the pastor because the pastor done. It's the pastor's job. That's why I say it. My former pastor used to say, let the pastor be the pastor. Don't you try to go off and pastor nobody if the Lord ain't called you to pastor nobody. Me personally, I don't want to be no pastor. I'm not I said it as a joke, but I was being serious. I said if the Lord ever called me to be a pastor, the Lord going to have to come down himself. I mean literally come down himself and tell me. And if he come down himself, that means the rapture done took place, and that means I don't have to do it because I'm going home. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But don't get mad at the pastor because they're trying to help you. They're trying to make sure if you got a great pastor, if you got a good pastor, that pastor's going to make sure that you make it to heaven. Going to give the babies the sincere milk of the word of God. Going to give the adult spiritual children and the teenagers, the ones that can handle the strong meat of the word of God. Going to give it to them. Now, we got some of those that are false, the ones that don't care. They'll let you just do anything. But God's not that way. God is not going to let you just do anything when you're walking with him. But learn, we gotta get, cause you will not look. I'm gonna say this, and we gonna go home. You will not be able to make it into heaven with all of the stuff that you started off with.
Amen.
You will not be able to make it into heaven with all of the stuff you started off with when you came into this world. You're going to have to change some stuff. I'm going to have to change some stuff. I'm going to have to take some stuff off. I'm going to have to put some stuff on spiritually now. We got to take some stuff off. We gotta do some fasting. We got to do some praying. That's how this stuff comes off. He said put on the whole armor of God. He said delight yourself in him. We got to learn how to take off. The Bible says lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. We got to lay it aside. Because I was telling y'all about a month ago, it's almost been a month now, amen, I flew to California, amen, and I had my luggage and stuff and everything. I had to prepare for that. I had to prepare for that. Had to get my bag together and all that. And on the day of, I had to, drive to the airport or ride to the airport, whichever one you want to say. Then I had to get my ticket and all that stuff. I had to prepare to get on that plane to take that flight. And then once I got into the air and made it to my destination, I was home free. But that's the same thing with God, except on this flight, we have to travel light. Because this is a spiritual
Amen.
Flight. But you got to have your ticket. You got to have your ticket. You got to prepare yourself for this flight. You got to prepare yourself spiritually. You got to prepare yourself. You got to go down in the name of Jesus Christ in water, in baptism. You got to repent of your sins. You got to go down in baptism. You got to receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. You got to go down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's stated in Acts 2 and 38. You got to prepare yourself. And then you must live a holy and saved life. Now, is every day going to be peaches and cream? No, it's not. I'm not saying that. Is some days going to be harder than others? Yes. But I'd rather go through that with the Holy Ghost, with the Lord on my side, with the Lord not just around me, but on the inside of me. I'd rather go through it with him than go through it without him. Because going through life without him is a lot harder than going through life with him. In Jesus' name. I said this before, I'll say it again. A lot of people, there is a lot of great NBA players, a lot of great NFL players, and we see them all the time. You got your LeBron Jameses, and you got your Michael Jordans, and your Larry Birds, and your Reggie Millers, and all them other players. But very few make it to the Hall of Fame. And that's the same thing with heaven. You got your pastors, your elders, your deacons, your ushers, you got your saints, you got some ain'ts, and everybody want to go to heaven, just like every player dreams about being in the Hall of Fame.
Preach at them.
But very few people. Well, how do I know Well, you might say, well, I'm going to heaven. You can't say that everybody's going to hell. I didn't say everybody was going to hell now. I said very few, because the Bible says narrow is the way. And the Bible also says it also says hell enlarges itself daily. And that ain't just for demons and the devil itself. That's for people that don't want to walk with Christ. That's for them. So at the end of this, I say unto you, you must repent. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you must live a holy and saved life unto
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
And you know, as Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is just your reasonable service. That's just your reasonable. In Jesus' name. That's all you got to do. He wants a life for a life so that you might be able to show people that there is life in him, so that they might be able to receive their life in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way, biblically and Bible-based, to see the Lord one day. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Continue to pray for this world. We know that the election is coming up. I'm encouraging everybody to go out and vote, no matter who you're voting for. I don't care if you're voting for Trump, Biden, or whoever. Go out and vote, because it's your American right to go out and vote, whoever you're voting for. Continue to wear your mask, because we're still dealing with this pandemic. Continue to wear your mask. Wear your hand sanitizer. Continue to wash your hands. Do all that. And remember this. If I don't see you in this life again, I'll see you in the rapture. As my grandmother used to say, as she left from church every day, if I don't see you again, I'll see you in the rapture. God bless you, and have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. And we'll see you next week on the Summit with Adam Tuggle. God bless you in Jesus' name.